Middle East Eye wrote, "Women, children, and newborns are disproportionately impacted by the ongoing Israeli regime onslaught on Gaza. Four UN agencies, including the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, and the United Nations Relief and Work Agency, UNRWA, said in a statement on November 3rd. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, as of early November, 2,326 women and 3,760 children have been killed in the besieged region, representing 67% of Palestinian casualties since the Israeli regime assault of the Gaza Strip began on October 7th. Since the statement's publication, the number of children killed has risen to 4,104. The relentless aerial bombardment and the Israeli regime siege, impacting vital access to water, electricity, food, fuel, and medicine, 16 of 35 hospitals have been forced to close. Many of the remaining are on the verge of a blackout. With access to vital services severely curtailed, some women are left with little option but to give birth in shelters, in their homes, in the streets, or in overwhelmed and increasingly unsanitary healthcare facilities, which have also become military targets. On November 1st, Al-Hilo Hospital, a key maternity hospital that had absorbed and replaced Shefa Hospital's maternity ward, was reportedly struck by the Zionist regime's shelling. The UN statement also notes the psychological toll of the Israeli regime onslaught, which has produced a rise in stress-induced miscarriages, stillbirth, and premature birth. Dwindling supplies of food have exacerbated rates of malnutrition among pregnant women in Gaza that were prevalent prior to the war. With an estimated 50,000 pregnant women in Gaza and 15% of them likely to experience pregnancy or birth-related complications, maternal deaths are likely to surge. Shortage of medical supplies means childbirth procedures, including C-sections, are being performed without anesthesia. An estimated 4,600 displaced women and 380 newborns sheltering in UNRWA facilities require medical attention, with rapidly deteriorating conditions putting them at risk of malnutrition, dehydration, and waterborne diseases. The Zionist regime's total blockade on Gaza is also putting newborns at grave risk. With fuel supplies running low, neonatal units are struggling to power life-saving incubators, which an estimated 130 babies are dependent on. Humanitarian agencies urgently need sustained and safe access to bring more medicines, food, water, and fuel into Gaza, the UN agency said in a statement, further calling for an immediate humanitarian pause to alleviate the suffering and prevent a desperate situation from becoming catastrophic. The website of the New Arab also wrote, with children making up 50% of the Palestinian population in Gaza, it was inevitable that they would bear the brunt of the Zionist regime's aggressions. Earlier last month, Israeli regime forces unleashed unprecedented attacks in the Gaza Strip, which included airstrikes over hospitals and schools, the use of white phosphorus, and cutting off water and electricity supply within the Gaza region. This has left families and children in Palestine devastated, and with blockades put up for aid intervention, it is likely that if the bombs don't kill them, the lack of water and food will. The UN also reported that a third of hospitals across the Gaza Strip are no longer operational due to electricity cuts and a total siege by the government of the Zionist regime, blocking entry of goods such as fuel and medicine. According to Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, resulting medical shortages have meant Amputating children without pain relief. James Elder, spokesperson for the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, explained more than 1 million children of Gaza have a water crisis. Gaza's water production capacity is a mere 5% of its usual daily output. Child deaths, particularly infants, to dehydration are a growing threat. Nesma, a member of UNICEF who lives and works in Gaza, has two children, 4-year-old Talia and 7-year-old Zane. She said to the New Arab website, "It breaks my heart to see children around me strive for a cup of clean water and cannot find it. Zane keeps asking for regular water." The statistics speak for themselves. Since October 7th, approximately 420 children have been killed every day. The death toll is likely to be higher as hundreds of children in Gaza are also missing, believed to be buried under rubble of bombed buildings. More than 6,000 children have also been injured by the Zionist regime's attacks, suffering from lost limbs and shrapnel wounds. Yet, there is little to no medical care available following the Zionist regime's bombing of hospitals and siege stopping access to critical medical supplies. James Elder added, "Our gravest fears about the reported numbers of children killed by becoming dozens, then hundreds, and ultimately thousands were realized in just a fortnight. The numbers are appalling, reportedly more than 3,450 children killed. Staggeringly, this rises significantly every day." Save the Children country director in the occupied Palestinian territory, Jason Lee, also said, "3 weeks of violence have ripped children from families and torn through their lives at an unimaginable rate. The numbers are harrowing, with violence not only continuing but expanding in Gaza right now. Many more children remain at grave risk."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critic program on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize movies with religious themes. One of those movies is The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. Actually, it features Johnny Depp, Emmanuel Signer, Lena Olin, Frank Langella, and so on and so forth. Well, we are going to criticize this movie with the help of my two guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, salam alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ramadan Jawad. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mine. And Said Abdullah, thank you very much for accepting our invitation to come to the studio. And assalamu alaikum to you too.
Wa alaikum assalam to you too, bro. And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, let's take a listen to a short trailer of this movie or a part of that. And then we'll be back and we come back with the question revolving around this movie. So don't go away.
Are you a religious man, Mr. Corso?
I mean, do you believe in the supernatural?
Nine gates of the Kingdom of Shadows.
Reputed to conjure up the Prince of Darkness in person.
Only three copies survived.
I'm convinced only one is authentic. I want you to get it for me.
You mean the devil won't show up?
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critic program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Said Abdullah and Bradley Yasser, my guest speakers in the program, trying to help me criticize the movie The Ninth Gate, directed by Roman Polanski, produced in 1999. Well, Said Abdullah, this movie is given the ranking or the rating of 6.7 out of 10 by IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 43% approval rate. And the box office was around $58.4 million. And the budget, I found that to be $38 million. The whole movie is revolving around Dean Corso, a rare book dealer, basically, played by Johnny Depp. Is hired to find the last two copies of a text that holds the key to summoning the devil and subsequently finds himself at the heart of paranormal activities and events. Well, as always, my first question, how do you like this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, I'll be honest. If it wasn't for Johnny Depp, I would have watched it. There isn't much that I did not find the horror element of the movie itself. It was very explained from the beginning. You knew exactly what was going on. There was no supernatural elements to it. There was no action. There was no even drama to say. It was just very slow moving. The events were just, you know, they told you exactly what was going to happen at the beginning of the movie anyway. He's going to go look for three books and search them and compare them, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Right. So there was nothing special about it. It was very dull, very basic. Like I said, the only interesting element in the entire movie is the actor himself, Johnny Depp. And I think that if it wasn't for him, no one would watch that movie, mm-hmm. to be quite honest. It wouldn't be, at least wouldn't make that much money as it did, even though it was made in a few different countries.
But the ranking wasn't really bad. I mean, 6.7 isn't
a Yeah, based bad on figure. The acting rather than anything else. Like I said, because the acting of Johnny Depp was good, the lady that was with him, she was okay. The actors, like in terms of acting, their acting was okay,
and
was good.
The director is very famous. From
Yeah, the director is famous, yeah, obviously. So that, you know, contributes to the thing. But in terms of events, in terms of the entire movie itself, it was... There's nothing, like, I didn't find any... It's like, you know, sometimes when you watch a horror movie, right, you're expecting things to happen, things to pop up, like, events to, you know... I mean, like, even you would expect the devil to come out or his demons to... There was nothing. There was absolutely no events. You know what I mean? It was this chase after a book.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual thing, which was supposed to be about the devil himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, so... I didn't get much. I will give it 1 out of 10.
I see. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski, and then we'll come back with his question and critique and criticize it more. So stay with us.
Collector Dean Corso has just been given a mysterious assignment.
What are you looking for, Mr. Corso?
I'm not quite sure.
It is a window into the past.
Have you studied the engravings?
Some books are dangerous.
A gateway into another world.
LCF. Who's LCF?
Lucifer himself.
And a power beyond all understanding.
I'm starting to see things. Uninvited visitors, unfamiliar faces. I don't trust anyone.
Coming?
What's with the we?
There are two of us on there.
But he's about to open up the greatest evil of all.
What have you got for me?
More than I bargained.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program. And along with me, my guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, this movie, just like the previous one that we criticized, you know, it also refers to a very important theme, which sometimes, you know, people are subject to in the world, especially in this modern, mundane world, and that is suicide. Well, what does a divine religion in general, or Islam in particular, say about suicide?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Suicide in any, it's not a religious thing. It was a thing that a human being would realize that it's not something that you would do. Even a person who's not religious gets shocked at someone committing suicide.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure you may know this, that in some countries, first world countries, it is forbidden to report a suicide during the news. In Canada, for example, it is forbidden if a suicide occurs, it cannot be reported on the news. Why? So that you don't promote it amongst other people. Mm-hmm. No, other people should know. Why are you doing that? Because you yourself know that it is something bad. It's not a religious government. It's not a religious country.
But the statistics come out.
The statistics come out. But like, for example, if something happens, it is not, they don't allow the reporting of that event immediately.
Yes.
The family will know, obviously. But how, for example, that person died and stuff will not be known. Obviously, it's not like, you know, with the world of social media and, yeah, you know, presumptions and so on and so forth. It comes out quite quickly. But the news, and officially not allowed to report it, mm-hmm, in the news channels or in newspapers or on websites that are official and so on and so forth.
When it comes to scientists, mm-hmm, and the doctors and philosophers, mm-hmm, they always account for it one way or another. Mm-hmm. They try to, like, pathologically speaking, like, mm-hmm, you know, say that, for example, it comes from this root or the other one. Mm-hmm. For example, we know this sociologist, philosopher, the French one, Emile Durkheim. You know, he's one of the best sources in this. You know, he attributes suicide to three reasons, basically, all right? But what about the religion? I mean, no, religion, what does religion,
example,
say about that?
Because religion is life as precious. Life is precious. It's a gift.
So all religions are against suicide?
All religions are against suicide. There's no religion, whether it be Abrahamic or non-Abrahamic, unless it's a religion that is satanic, which this movie portrays.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different issue altogether.
Then. Exactly.
That is not religion. That becomes a cult.
Yeah, just, exactly.
Depending on your definition of what religion is, but that more than becomes a cult. It goes outside of the bounds,
yes,
of a definition of a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a cult. So, yes, you have many cults, mm-hmm, that promote suicide because of certain deviant. There's another thing, actually. This is something fascinating I actually came across recently. And it deals with fiqh,
mm-hmm,
Islamic jurisprudence. We have certain things in Islamic jurisprudence that are tahir, that are intrinsically pure. One of the most important things is water.
Mm.
And water is what in the Quran? The place where life began. We created everything from water.
Yeah.
It's pure. All right? And on the other side, one of these cults, what do they use the most? What is the thing that they promote the most? Blood. And what is one of the most impure things in Islamic thing?
Yes.
It's blood.
Yeah.
All right? So this is not just then, this, if you, like I mentioned someone else, Islamic fiqh is not just something that's put together. It is something that is intrinsically inclined and in order with the world of creation itself.
Mm-hmm.
Water is pure intrinsically. It is something pure about it.
Exactly.
Blood is not just said it's impure because it's, no. It of itself has properties within it that make it evil. It can be, all these cults are used, what? Blood sacrifices.
That's a very nice point.
Why?
Yeah, thank you.
Because there's something intrinsically about this particular thing that makes it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the devil will use these particular things. Again, we'll come over this whole movie is about this.
Yeah.
Hopefully later on. But maybe in our segment, uses these particular things that are not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs, pigs, whatever.
Yeah.
To kind of push forward his plans and agenda against God, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. Then we'll come back with this criticism. Don't go away.
It may take a month or so to place them, so in the meantime, I advise you to be patient.
A month?
Yes, a month or two. It depends on how much of a hurry you're in. You see, more hurry, less money.
Of course.
Well, that's my advice anyway. I'm sure you wouldn't want to rush things, but please feel free to consult another expert. And if you have any questions, you know where to reach me. Incidentally, this four-volume edition of Don Quixote is quite nice, but not particularly valuable. Now, I could take it off your hands right away.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program with my guest speakers, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. The movie we are criticizing is The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. And I'm going to ask you this question, Sayyid Abdullah, that the book dealer is trying to deceive the sellers to make a fortune, nearly the beginning of the movie. Why are some, if not most, traders become so unfair and unscrupulous? Why not honesty? Why the ripoff? I mean, is it the nature of man or the nature of business? Which one is it?
It's a bit of both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha, right? Mm. Gave the good and the bad, the yin and the yang. It's up to you to choose which way to go. So sometimes when life itself and the glitter of life gets to you, mm-hmm. then you become more inclined to go to the dark side of the nafs, of the self. Mm-hmm. And once you go that way, it becomes really hard to see things correctly and accurately and go by God's law. So you try to do whatever you can to get more of this darkness into your life. So that's from the human aspect itself. From the trade itself, the trade also, it's considered to be a sense of smartness, or, you know, you wiseness, or whatever you're going to call it, that the more you get, the better, you know. And it's also, it's a human nature that I want to make the most profit possible if I can. But sometimes I do understand that this, doing it the right way, I'm not going to get as much. Mm. So I'm forced to go the wrong way into trying to achieve it. So sometimes it, and also because of the human nature, I think it just, it kind of imprinted on the trade itself. So, for example, there are certain trades where you know you're going to get ripped off, whether you like it or not. For example, if you're going to real estate.
Real estate, yeah.
Right? You know you're going to get ripped off.
Everybody knows it, but they are doomed to go there.
Yeah. So
because they need a house.
Yeah, exactly. So some trades, it became the norm that you get ripped off. Or, for example, if you go to lawyers, you know that lawyers are going to rip you off, and so on and so forth. So it's very rare you find...
Now, of course, we are not talking about all lawyers and all real estate agents.
We're talking about now.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. So it brushes off into the trade itself and becomes a trade of just, you know, bad business, I guess, in terms of religion. So it's both. It's a bit of both. But obviously, it begins with the humans themselves making the wrong choice by trying to rip each other's off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to, criticize one of those movies with religious themes, namely The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. Of course, we haven't come to the end of its criticism, so we promise to continue the criticism of this movie in the upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Men who have been burned alive for just a glimpse of what you are about to witness.
Food for thought.
Everyone, let us ponder on a gem of an advice from the Holy Prophet's first infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He who adopts greed as a habit devalues himself. He who discloses his hardship agrees to humiliation. And he who allows his tongue to overpower his soul debases the soul.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en. Al-Shifa Hospital.
Part 2.
Whenever you go in Al-Shifa Hospital, you find nothing but pain and suffering. Some of the visitors go to hospital's library, seeking rest to be able to write news or stories about what happens in the hospital.
We all are sending out as much information as we can to our countries and to as many other places as we can about the carnage that is happening here. We also see every day when I come here, I walk past the morgue, and some days there are just 30 cars or more picking up dead bodies. And then you go into the wards and you see the injuries, the people without limbs, the people in comas, the children with shrapnel completely covering their whole bodies. Entire families, a mother and three or four of her children, all in the same ward, all with terrible injuries. Civilization has been ripped from the face of Israel by their own hands, and they have exposed their barbarity for the entire world to see.
I was here the other night when people began to came in from Al-Shujaya that were at the marketplace and that were bombed. And I saw approximately 200 ambulances arriving at the hospital. The hospital was in shock. I was in shock with the quantity of injured and dead. Yeah, today, I saw three funerals of people carrying bodies through the hospital grounds. I saw two people come in whose faces were covered, and frankly, I wept. Frankly, I was also asked to document war crimes and to send material to the State Department in the United States that would document those crimes, and I fully intend to do that.
Since the beginning of the war on the Gaza Strip, these internationals have been staying with others in the hospital all the time. That is because the Israeli occupation has informed the hospital that it will be bombed and destroyed.
I was already here a few days ago when the Israelis struck the wall outside and all these windows were shattered. And that was pretty scary. So it wouldn't be telling the truth to say that there's not, you know, fear. But at the same time, that is not going to stop me or any of us from defending the Shifa Hospital and all the people in it, because it is a far greater fear that all these people should die then that I should die.
I have myself been in two hospitals before this that's been under attack. I was stuck in Beit Hanun for 16 hours while it was constantly being attacked by shelling from the Israeli occupation forces. Well, what we can do as internationals is to use our privilege here in Gaza. So we use this to bring media attention to Shifa, to let the world know that this is a civilian hospital that has been threatened by the Israeli occupation forces.
The next morning has come without anything happening to the hospital. With the beginning of the new day, the hospital looks quiet. This is Denny moving around the hospital to inform whoever is interested in his country about what happens in Gaza. Denny continues walking in the corridors of a department, heading to the rooms of casualties he has visited to check on them.
I am here because the Israeli occupation bombed us. I was standing next to our neighbor's car, near a store. The occupation's army fired a missile toward us. I flew in air and fell down. Then I was taken to Al-Shifa Hospital. There are wounds all over my body, in my belly, hands, and head. My whole body is wounded.
I am ashamed that the United States government is providing the financing for this war and for the military machine in Israel. I've called for the ICC to bring the United States government before the ICC for complicity in these war crimes. When children and women and men, civilians were being killed, when these houses were being destroyed, Palestinian people, under international law certainly, and under moral law, have the right to defend themselves. This is a country without an army, without a navy, without an air force, without even an airport, without advanced weapons, and they're being targeted by the fourth most powerful military in the world. They have a right to defend themselves. I wish they would shoot more rockets.
Denny left the room upset, but there was something that drew attention in the view from the window. What cannot be seen at night becomes clear in daytime. That was the hospital's garden, filled with tents, reminding everyone of the exile of the 1948 catastrophe.
I talked about this many times. When they ask me, what does the war remind you of? I say that it reminds me of what happened in 1948, when we left our house. It was the same situation now. We were running and did not know where to go. Some of us were barefoot, and children were crying and running, as if we were living the 1948 catastrophe again.
After we were done filming the Shifa refugee camp, we were informed that a German delegation had arrived at the hospital to help the medical crews. We went to follow up with the delegation, but found that each of them was busy working with the medical crews. The delegation was surprised with the difficulty of work in the hospital that they think contains old equipment and devices, as if they were borrowed from a museum of an old hospital.
The Palestinian doctor forums in Europe came to idea to help people here in Gaza or our colleagues here in this war situation, trying to give some aid for them and support them or showing them new techniques or procedures.
We are now at Al-Shifa Hospital, the biggest hospital in the Gaza Strip. As you know, it's experiencing war. We are a group of many doctors who work in Germany. We have different specialities, and we came from Germany to Gaza to help the casualties and provide medical care. We have been here for 4 weeks.
Es fehlt viele an Instrumente.
There's a severe shortage of medical equipment. I don't know what to say about this primitive surgery room. However, I am confident that this room is not classified as a surgery room in Germany. There are no anesthesia appliances and care as required.
Es fehlen wirklich viele Sachen hier.
As example, it should be an intervention radiology unit here with an angio suite, but this is an old fluoroscopy machine. This is an example what I have to use to access an artery or vein. This is not acceptable for this procedure. This is only a normal cannula to access a vein for infusion or blood withdrawal. And that's it. We don't have enough materials here. We don't have even basic things. I don't know how are they managing their cases here.
Wir kommen zu einem siebenjährigen Mädchen.
A seven-year-old girl was found wounded 16 days ago. She was shot in the neck. The bullet entered from her right side through the backbone and exited out the left side. She is paralyzed now because of that. She cannot move either her arms or legs. If this had occurred in Germany, we could have helped her sooner and she would have had a better chance at recovery. But in such a case as this, and with the time delay and a shortage of facilities, unfortunately, there's just no way to help her.
Bei den Möglichkeiten, die hier sind, hat man leider wenig Chancen, dieses Mädchen zu helfen.
I want to ask everyone in this world, if it is this child is yours, what do you feel? What do you feel?
You know, we have been suffering. I'm talking about 10,000 injured patients and that big number of murders, 2,000 about now. Imagine how much is the magnitude, how much is the need. It's a very dirty massacre. It's fairly against the human beings. Killing children, killing all members of the families, coming to the towns, just destructing the houses on the residents of that house. It's unhuman by all means.
We should say that our doctor fellows at Al Shifa Hospital were able to achieve a lot under these exceptional circumstances. They were very organized and did a good job. We look forward to replicating back in Germany. I don't know if a similar war had started in a German province, how would have we been able to deal with such a tragic problem?
Sehr dramatischen Problem klarkommen würden.
The disaster is not over yet. Al-Shifa Hospital is still housing many of those who became homeless after they lost their homes. Casualties arrive along with martyrs who were turned into shreds, inside bags with no names yet. The wounded in the hospital suffer because of the severe shortage of medical equipment as a result of the siege imposed on the Gaza Strip during this ongoing war.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate.
the most merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about simple life in Islam.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Friday, is the 25th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar-Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar-Hijri calendar, and the 10th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Hadid, verse 20 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion, and adornment and boasting to one another, and competition in increase of wealth and children. Like the example of a rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries and you see it turned yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since love for the mundane world is the origin of all sins and the springhead of all errors, the blessed verse presents a telling deception of worldly life, its different stages and the motives dominating each stage. The five cycles of human life consist of neglect, amusement, luxury, boasting, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to His supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Simple life in Islam is the topic of this episode of today's special. Things of comfort, outings, entertainment opportunities are not to be looked at as allowed and forbidden. We need to understand them as distractions. And distraction is a giant killer of progress and a major obstacle in one's development. It is an unwise step. The reason being then, when one indulges in these distractions, it leads to a waste of time, energy, and every other resource. Given that we have very limited resources, we can afford to waste them on distractions. Simple living, therefore, is not a mere moral or ethical formula. Rather, it is a key principle for a successful life. It is a safety device from all kinds of distractions, and saving oneself from distractions ensures that time, money, and energy is used in a better way to attain success in this world and the next after death.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. In today's show, we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective on living a simple life. So living a simple life from the perspective of Islam is an embodiment of the religion's core principles. It promotes contentment, moderation, charity, humility, and gratitude by prioritizing spiritual well-being and meaningful human connections over material wealth and worldly desires. Muslims aim to find balance, peace, and fulfillment in their lives. It is a path of aligning one's life with the essence of Islam and embracing a simple yet profoundly meaningful way of living. The teachings of Islam guide individuals to lead that resonates with spiritual depth and moral excellence. I hope that you find it quite informative and enjoy the show. I'd like to invite you to join us again in our upcoming session. Today we've talked about the simplicity, about the importance of a simple life and lifestyle from the perspective of Islam. And we looked at the treatment, we looked at the sunnah and the conduct of the Holy Prophet in brief also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn from these Islamic and divine teachings and act upon them, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every pond.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
One of the secrets to simple living is starting creating space and time for what matters. Only you can decide what you've been clearing away all these things to make room for. More time with your family, space to start a new hobby, traveling to a place you've always wanted to go, or just a life that you no longer dread living. Some people find it helpful to write a list of their priorities and then compare that list to how you are spending your money. Is your number one priority supposedly your family and friends, but you spend very little time with them because of how much you work? Then maybe something needs to change. Of course, we all have responsibilities and a career is a part of the life. Financial independence is not a reality for most for us. But don't work your life away just to have money for things you don't even need. And the last part of today's special, is it better to live a simple life? This question is something only you can answer. You get to pick what you want your life to be.
Try some tips and ideas listed here and see where it takes you. A simple life might mean watching less TV to start baking your own bread. Or it could mean quitting baking bread because it drives you crazy and you finally have no time to watch a little TV. It's up to you. It's your time, your life, and your definition of happiness. Maybe you'll enjoy less stress, better wealth, and quality time with people you love. Maybe you'll find contentment with where you are right now. Or maybe you'll find that you are someone who enjoys the pursuit of more and more. If it takes you happy in the end, there is truly nothing wrong with that.
Humble yourself before your Lord and before mankind. An arrogant person with people, when you see him arrogant, dealing arrogantly with people, he is also arrogant with God when he deals with God. How do we become arrogant with God? When I go home and tell him, God, where are you? Give me. You didn't give me today. I'm unhappy. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to worship you. This is arrogance. This is arrogance. When I fight with God, I'm not doing him a favor when I pray. I'm doing myself a favor. God is not waiting there, sitting there and waiting for my fasting and my prayers and my dua. God said to Moses, Moses, if entire mankind, they don't pray, I'm not going to be hurt. And if in the entire mankind they pray and worship me, I'm not going to rejoice that. Nothing is going to change me. Neither they are going to hurt me nor benefit me. If they don't pray, they hurt themselves. They disconnect themselves from the source of love and mercy and affection. They disconnect themselves. God is not going to be hurt. So humble yourself before God. And you need, in your life, private moments to be alone by yourself. Don't let your parents watch you or know about your location or hear your voice or see your image. Be by yourself. Whether it is your bedroom, whether it's the beach, whether it's the forest, whether it's the wood, whether it's the mountain, be by yourself and talk to God with humility. And converse with God. God loves to hear your voice. The prophet says sometimes we pray and God does not answer. Not because he doesn't want to answer. God says, because I need to hear this voice more. If I fulfill the need for him, he's not going to pray anymore. I'm going to lose his voice. So I delay his need, I don't fulfill it for him, I don't give it to him, so he keeps praying and I keep listening and enjoying his voice. God wants to hear your voice and your intimate voice, not your diplomatic voice.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. And nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. But through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Tonight, a blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. Nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down Gaza tonight.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel targets patients and medical staff in its new attacks on hospitals in Gaza as the war enters its 35th day. The World Food Program.